Cap Figure Podcast, episode 64. Before the amazing Tom McLaughlin joins us, I want to play you guys something amazing. In a fantasy league that I commissioned, that Tom and I are in, our good friend Ryan took Ezekiel Elliott with the 15th overall pick. An hour before the draft, it was announced Ezekiel Elliott's six-game suspension upheld. And he texted me, oh, it was upheld. And then he took him 15th overall, and the next day revealed to me that he misunderstood what the word upheld meant, and he wouldn't have taken him that early. So I just called him, and he explained what he thought it meant. And then Tom will join us, and we'll talk some other stuff. Enjoy.
Yo, I'm about to hop on the train. I can call you back in, like, 10
Wait,
minutes.
Can you just tell me real quick, what did you think upheld meant? Because I'm at work, and my coworker Louie thought it meant the same thing. But what did you think it meant?
Like, it got held. Like, there's no decision yet.
So you thought it was upheld that it meant that there was no decision?
Like, there was no final answer.
So you thought it was, like, saying nothing?
It was like, no, it's postponed. Like, there is no final answer.
Oh, that it was like a hung jury, that, like, they couldn't come up with a decision.
Yeah.
That sucks, and meanwhile it means the opposite, and you took him with the 15th overall pick.
What?
Meanwhile, it means the opposite, and you took him with the 15th pick.
Yeah, but I also know that he's not going to... He's There's no way that he's going to, like, get to... He's going to play this whole year, bro. Try to be best, because you're only a man, and a man's got to learn to take it. Try to believe, though the going gets rough, that you got a hand tough to make it. Try and you succeed. Never doubt that you're the one, and you can have your dream. You're the best.
Yeah.
Nothing's gonna ever take you down.
The mirror, the smoke, crack, not whack. Ron Darling is the max. Keith Hernandez did coke with Daryl Strawberry and Doc, who's a friendly bloke. Hi guys, this is the Cap Figure Podcast, episode 64. But today's different. Today we're mourning the loss of the Cap Figure Podcast, perhaps as we know it. They had a horrible, debilitating injury, the old Cap Figure Podcast, and they're in the hospital. But we're not visiting them, right? We don't really care for them so much right now. We're mad at them. So we're going to do things a little different for a couple episodes, right?
Yeah.
Tom McLaughlin?
Hi, Ryan. And how are you doing? I'm Tom.
And we're going to try whatever to...
It's a rejuvenation proclamation here.
The rejuvenation proclamation.
So what I really want to talk about today, the start of the NFL season, is I really want to expose how ridiculous fantasy football can be. And I really want to expose the platforms that you're going to see on TV over the coming weeks tell you 2,000% bonus on your $100 deposit.
Yeah, man, don't fall for it. We're here to protect you, just like the Steve Stevens episode, right? And we're going to also tell you guys some other stupid things that you're doing, including me. I did in a couple of my leagues, and it's a mistake 72% of us are making. I feel like an ad on the internet when I speak like that.
What
I know it's a great tease. We're learning. But seriously,
don't be one of the 72%.
Don't be one of the 72, and we'll tell you what that mistake is later. And also, we're going to get into some beefs I have about kicker scoring. Blah, 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 just all about fantasy ridiculousness. Yo, but speaking of ridiculousness, how about drafting Ezekiel Elliott like we heard in the intro because you don't know what the word upheld meant? Get a dictionary, no? This shows you the importance of dictionaries when you're drafting.
It does. It's absurd.
It's very underrated.
Because there is also a description of exactly what that meant right below it.
If you were able to read merely 140 characters, if you have a brain power to understand Twitter, you could have understood that he was still going to be suspended.
Yeah, it says the injury was upheld, but he will play in week one.
Yeah,
so
the suspension was upheld, yeah.
If it wasn't upheld, they wouldn't have put in the part, but he will play in week one, because it would have been inferred.
That is very generous thought process you to grant him, because that's like granting him that he's not going to look up the word that he doesn't know what it means, that he could just deduce it based on butt. But anyway, so here's what we're going to get into right now, right? Tom got a beef, and what Tom beef is these commercials you're about to see, right? And football starts tonight, right? Who's playing tonight? I don't even know.
The Patriots and the Chiefs.
Okay, the Patriots and the Chiefs.
We got Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce on one side. And then on the other side, we don't have Julian Edelman, but we have a couple of other white receivers on the Patriots, followed by a white quarterback named Tom Brady. And they are going to face each other. Ryan, who you got?
I don't know. Probably. my dad said in the preseason, he was squinting at the TV. We were sitting far from the TV. It was a Patriots-Giants preseason game. He was like, who's playing quarterback for the Patriots? And I was like, I don't know. He looks black. He was like, I know. That's why. It can't be. He's like, there's only allowed to be white guys.
Jacoby Brissett.
And their offensive line.
Jacoby Brissett. He got traded, actually.
You know, that's how slave owners, pretty racist, that they named their slaves after what food they like the most. To name a guy Brissett, that's pretty messed up. But that's why there's so many chicken wings. And that's why there's so many chicken wings and white guys named Meatball, Joey Meatball. All right.
So,
you're about to see a million commercials for FanDuel and DraftKings. Tom, I don't know, where do we start to tackle why these are bad? Which, we didn't really know the scope of it until we did some big number crunching, right?
Yeah, I think there's two things to talk about. I think one, which is more interesting, is actually the fees that you pay to participate in these daily fantasy sports sites. That's right. Very interesting. That's very relevant. And then I think secondary to that, you have to take kind of a full scope of where the daily fantasy industry is right now, how it got to that point, and where it will move going forward.
Word. Well, we should do a brief version of that quickly. I think you more mean like who the player pool is, right?
Correct.
As an issue. So quickly, just like in the last couple years, daily fantasy, which is just 1 week fantasy leagues, obviously is super blown up. It's like, it's fun. We both have tried it. You've seen the ads maybe two years ago, last year. Nonstop for DraftKings, like, hey, I'm Matt Jimmy Bin, and I won $30,000 on FanDuel.
And he holds up a big check.
And then they show the ad of those, mass holes with backwards hats and sleeveless shirts winning millions of dollars in the Vegas thing.
Yeah, they're like, I came in, and I knew it was the weekend of my lifetime. I had my lineup plotted out, and then at the last minute, I said, I'm from Boston. I gotta go Gronk. I know his price is too much, but I'm going with Gronk.
Wait, are you making this up?
No, I mean, I am. Yeah.
But I think
there is one where they're like, I was thinking about my lineup all week, and I was hearing the news, and then I went with Rob Gronkowski, and he has a Patriots jersey on with the Patriots logo blurred out, and then next thing you know, he's holding a check for $68,000 with two models next to him and a bottle of Bacardi.
Dude, and so you see that, you get girls, money,
power.
You know, and it's with your lazy bum-ass skills of fantasy football that, just like Madden, every idiot in the world thinks they're really good at, right?
Yes.
Every single fucking dumbass I've ever met thinks, yo, I'm mad good at Madden,
I'm
yo.
I'm good at Madden. I press Y when Randy Moss gets to the top of his route, and yo, it's done. I'll
be
take
running
it to
a
the dra- house.
I run a drag route, and then I run a screen, and then I run a drag route. So anyway, though. But fantasy football is appealing. Obviously, it's fun. Football's huge. We both tried it. I still play baseball. The other sports have grown. Football was the first popular one, I imagine, of the daily leagues. And now I listen to a podcast, and we'll get into the sites that are tips for these sites later. But they go as far as they have a WNBA expert hired full-time, a daily fantasy WNBA expert. It's nuts. It's grown so much.
They have WNBA fantasy games.
Yeah, daily fantasy WNBA. Okay. And even though, as we'll talk about later too, the size of the pool may be decreasing or whatever, but it's still a huge industry that just sort of came out of nowhere and overcame huge legal hurdles recently, like in New York. But I guess first, what was your experience with it, and what did you have fun, and then why did you stop eventually playing? What was your path with daily fantasy quickly?
Yeah, so I mean, I played regular fantasy leagues for a long time prior to this blowing up the daily fantasy sports. I think I still enjoy the season-long fantasy games because I think the strategy is more of a long-term view.
Mm-hmm.
But daily fantasy is a lot of fun because you get to pick different players
every
single week.
Tell me your experience. When did you first sign up and why? And then how much money did you spend on it?
I think I signed up for FanDuel in 2011 or 2012.
And then how much did you deposit?
I think I deposited like 200 my first time.
Because of the, they say, we'll match your first deposit up to 200. Right. Little do you know that it leaks out like 20 cents at a time. For every $4 you risk, they give you 20 cents released on your bonus.
Right.
But so, and then did you lose right away or did you win a little? Yeah, I know you almost won a big tournament, which many people do. But then, you know, something happens. And
I lost the first time I deposited, but then right after that, I had one of the best teams in a number of, like, huge tournaments with a player left on the Monday night game who was Marshawn Lynch. I needed, like, 8 points to win, like, over $10,000, and it just didn't happen.
And did you... So then you profited and then what, lost it over the next couple weeks or something?
Yeah, I took some money out, but then I definitely since then have lost a couple thousand dollars in daily fantasy.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. And I have a similar experience. So you're definitely ended up net down a couple thousand in daily fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, I had gone through periods where I definitely won, but I mean, as you can notice when you play it, even if you win a big amount, like... Then you start playing more and more.
Right. My bankroll management is horrible, which so real players would call that a skill of bankroll management, but I just call it inevitable. But I have a similar experience. I saw the ads and was like, you know what? I'm a gambler. I like fantasy. Let me try this, like many people do. Deposited. I don't know why I only did 100. Oh, because I knew from poker sites that the matchier thing was a slow leaking thing. It's still smart to do. If I knew I'd play as much as I did, there's still no reason not to do the maximum.
Right.
But I only deposited 100. But then, you know, this past season, I've been getting obsessed with baseball daily fantasy and losing money. And I would say I go on the same up and down. I've only withdrawn probably twice from both sites, and I've deposited probably 20 times. I'd probably have lost about 1,500, I'd guess, in between DraftKings and FanDuel, the two major daily fantasy sites. But I do get excitement out of it, and as a sort of degenerate gambler, the one good thing I'd say about it is that I've gotten a buzz for $25 entry in a giant tournament where I can win $50,000. It sort of gives me the same fix as betting 100 on a game. However, as I'm going to ask you right now, turns out that may be better. It seems to us after, you know, thinking about it, that just betting $100 on a sports game with a bookie or with Vegas may be better odds. How can that be?
The odds are better.
That would shock people because you would think, okay, well, this is a zero-sum game. I'm playing against other fantasy player. I'm not playing against the house, right? When you bet in Vegas, you think you're sort of playing against the house. Right. This is, I just got to beat you, just like in my regular league. But again, one thing is you're not you in these sites, which we'll get to in a minute. And the other is the VIG, which is not talked about.
Correct. So yeah, you're right. There are two reasons why
you're stupid.
Daily fantasy is worse than betting, and both of them. One is, as you mentioned, the actual mathematical VIG that is taken, the fees that you pay on FanDuel are substantially more than you would on your average NFL game.
Right.
And we've established that. It's 14% on FanDuel big tournaments.
Well, we did this math. People don't know this. We should go into it. So what it is they have these 50-50s. On DraftKings, for example, it's a double up. So on average, like 23 people enter for $5, say, and 10 people win 10, so they profit 5. That at that rate, it's 87 or 86% of all the prize pool is given back out to players as winnings, and DraftKings keeps 14 or 13%. Whereas when you make a regular sports bet in Vegas, you only pay 10% if you lose, right?
Correct.
So it's almost twice as bad because in this case, everybody's paying the VIG. And right. I didn't understand that until the example that you're going to tell us now about the head-to-head scenario with the money. What was that?
Yeah, so if there are two people entering a $100 pool each, the way they set it up is a $100 entry fee plus $9 for VIG.
Right.
For fee. So you're putting in $109. You're risking $109 to end up winning $91.
Right. You profit $91 because you've entered $109. And then you're getting back 200, right?
Yep.
You enter 109, each of you, and then only one of you is going to get back 200. You profit 91. So like Tom said, Usually you risk 110 to profit 100 in Vegas. In this case, on a head-to-head thing, even though you may feel like you're more likely to beat the guy, which you're wrong about, you're paying double the VIG. It's insane. I never would have guessed it would be that high.
Because the house doesn't pay the VIG in Vegas. Yeah.
What do you mean?
Like, in Daily Fantasy, both of you are paying the VIG, and that's coming... however we want to phrase it, it's the same thing, right? The amount that you're risking is higher, and the amount you're going to win is less.
Right.
So...
So, okay, but so then here, now, I'll be the Joe Schmo, so say that, okay, I hear you that the VIG is higher, but I can outsmart these people. I'm not playing against the house, where I'm definitely going to lose. I'm just playing against you or some other guy. I can outsmart them, right? I'm good at my fantasy leagues.
First of all, you're not going to outsmart me in fantasy football, Schmo.
Wait, what do you mean? You, other Joe Schmo, have the same thoughts as me? We all think we're better than the other?
I am.
Okay, and then why can't I beat the typical guy on the sites? They're just regular guys like me, no?
Right, and that is definitely where a lot of people go entirely wrong, because...
Wait, I'm wrong? Why? Take me seriously.
Yeah, you're wrong because what was the number? Of the top 1%, 43% of all winnings go to the top 1%
right.
of players.
And the top 1% of all players on DraftKings, for example, they make up 28% of all the entry fees and 43% of all the winnings. And the top 5% end up taking all, the top 5% get 51% of all the winnings. That's 5% of players, and they're professional players who enter multiple times. It's like if you see a big tournament and they max it at 20 entries, that tells you something, that there's people with robot programs entering 120 times when there's no max. 76% of people who play Daily Fantasy are net losers, at least on DraftKings. So
what was it, 73%?
76% are net losers. It's crazy. It's so top heavy with pros.
I would say I would even venture that number's probably higher.
Well, this is only for a 7-day period, actually. So you're right. They get to be cheap with that because then they have the buffer of the break even group, which is really fugazi because
that's
they're not going to withdraw after breaking even.
Correct.
So it's even worse than 76%. You're right. Here it is. Yeah, 18%. The last 7 days are. What was it? I'm sorry. Let's see. User statistics. This shows the percentage of all DraftKings players who are net winners, break even, and net losers over the last 7 and 39 day, and 30 days. Last 7 days, net winners 16%, break even 9%, net losers 76%. So in reality, it's 85% of people are net losers, because if you break even, you're going to replay your money on there and then lose it, right?
Yep.
But surprisingly, this is on their site. But so our point is, if we're not being clear enough, is that all the winnings are going to the top 5% of pros, and it's becoming more and more a shark tank, and you have numbers about the player pool that we suspect, and this is your idea, your theory fully you came up with, but that they're running out of new people. People are realizing this and leaving, right? So
correct.
What are the numbers you have?
So we'll go back in 2010, I think, is when DFS really started becoming somewhat of a mainstream. And it may actually be on the early end, but in 2010, there were 32 million fantasy sports players mm-hmm. per year. 2015, that number skyrocketed to 56.8 million. Between 2014 and 2015, there were 15 million new fantasy sports players.
And that's the year you saw nonstop ads.
Right, like. Exactly. That's the year where it was like really concentrated on FanDuel ads every commercial break. And so we're at 56.8 in 2015. In 2017, that number has sort of stood still at 58 million. And I don't think that number can even actually be correct. It might be, but I really think that this market has topped out.
Well, I thought it was going to go lower. Maybe it hasn't yet, but that actually sort of goes against us in a way. Like, if there's still the same amount of Joe Schmoes playing, then even though the evidence I just read shows that we're screwed, maybe that tells you that, like, there's still the same number of Joe Schmoes. Maybe like people like me. Like, I just deposited again last week. I know it's stupid, and I keep playing baseball because it's exciting, and I think I can have a chance. I just need to get lucky once and win a tournament. So maybe we're staying. Maybe the gap isn't... Yes, they have to have stopped growing now. They probably have gotten everybody they can get to deposit, but maybe we're not leaving as fast as we should and realize we're losing. And that's why addictive industries survive. So, but either way, it's not a winning formula for you.
No, I think to me it's almost just a glorified lottery that has that sticking point of... It overlaps with the NFL, which is something else that people like. I mean, if I were just looking to have fun, I would probably rather play FanDuel than get numbers on, like, the Powerball.
Yeah, well, right. And it is sort of the same in that sense, because the giant tournaments, and they're having, what, $1 billion giveaway, FanDuel, if you get the perfect lineup.
So if you get literally the perfect lineup with the best player at every position... You get $1 billion.
So that is like literally the highest scoring quarterback on the weekend, two highest scoring receivers, two highest scoring running backs, the whole team. Why is that absurd? Because it's 32 times however many slots there are. More.
It's more
32.
Than that.
Let's do the math right now real quick. I'll just see. So the quarterbacks, it's 32 times... how many? We'll say 64 for each receiver slot. Times 64. Oh no! What? I'm doing it wrong. 130. I'm stupid. We're already messing this up. What am I doing? 1 divided by 32 equals 0.03. So 0.03 times 0.0015. 0.03 times. What am I doing? 0.03. 0.03 times. I don't even know how to read this now, and I'm not even done. I'm like halfway through, and it's my calculator says 1.9683E-14. I don't know what that is, but $1 billion to 1 is a good price for FanDuel.
It is.
That's the way it's 0.0003. It's like
so that's
point,
more than like 1 trillion.
Yeah, it's insane.
Times a trillion.
Yeah, it's like the quint. But it's fun. It's a good promotion for them. They're smart.
It's a smart promotion.
I don't think people really
them.
Think they're going to win, because I would play. It's like a lot. It's like the one in quintillion perfect bracket challenge.
Yes.
So, well, whatever. Okay, so, but now this is why it's bad, right? But the most shocking part, and we'll move on and talk about regular fantasy leagues and the mistake I tease that 72% of people are making in the regular leagues, is the VIG. I just didn't realize that it's the VIG is bigger than Vegas. That's so insane.
Yeah.
And in Vegas, yes, you sort of are playing against the house, but not necessarily, because you're playing against your own prediction, right? Vegas is setting a line on a game that they think is 50-50, but you're not necessarily playing against them, because they want even money on both sides, and then you're just losing 10% if they set a good line.
Right.
So you're playing against your prediction in a way, whereas the daily fantasy sites, you're playing against someone who's likely a shark, because, like I said, the top 1%, for example, make up 28% of all the entries. Like, they're not just winning, they're also entering way, way more. So you're probably playing a shark if you're just playing a head-to-head contest.
So they're basically, if the top 1% of winners make up 28% of the entries, they're entering probably 28 times more than the average person.
Yeah, yeah, hell yeah.
If not more.
No, it's insane. You'll see the top guys all over having multiple accounts, multiple entries, robots enter. All right, so...
That number is so insane, though. I think there's greed involved in FanDuel and DraftKings trying to capture as much profit as they can as quickly as possible, but I think that... In a sense, that could end up backfiring. I think, you know, maybe if they lowered the VIG to 5%, people may not necessarily appreciate that, but it will keep players playing for longer, so it may make the game
I don't
hook
think people
them more.
Realize that. I think people, well, just like when you go to an underground poker room here, you're only really thinking that I can beat the other guys. You're not thinking about the VIG, really. The VIG is not talked about in daily fantasy. So I think that... They are on the right track by their incentives to keep players, which currently include having these statistics on their own site that we talked about, or they have casual leagues, right? When you first sign up, if you've played under 100 contests, you can play in these contests that are only for other beginners.
Okay.
Things like that, I think, are way more likely to keep their new players than the VIG, because I just don't think people realize it, but they should. That's the biggest reason I'm not going to keep playing, is the VIG, way more than the player pool, because I'm still delusional and think I could beat the player pool. All right. The other thing that I was going to say, I just totally brain farted. What the hell else are we talking about? Oh, that these advice websites, real quick. I listen to the Roto Grinders podcast and stuff, and they give tips and stuff about each day's lineups for baseball and stuff like that. But they are professional players, and they know that their podcast is huge. I think it's so silly. They absolutely have a conflict of interest
in giving out the best picks. To give out their best picks.
If they
yes.
really gave out their best stacks and their best picks, they would be burning money on fire. I don't care how much they get paid by Roto Grinders. It's such a conflict of interest. But that's a whole new market now, these advice pages and stuff.
Those, I think, outside of a very few of them that are reputable that provide exact value. So Fantasy Pros, for example, they have a plugin I used with my draft
right.
for season long draft. That was very helpful.
Yeah, that's different because the people operating that are not playing against you in your league.
Right.
The guys on Roto Grinders telling me about their DraftKings lineups are literally in the same tournaments I'm playing that night.
Yes, and I want to go a step further. These websites, they can track where you click, what pages you're on. So if there's a serious player who is involved at Roto Grinders, they can check the analytics to see what page the most people have visited. So if the most people visit
the Rockies lineup or something,
Vernon Davis's Vernon Davis's page. All right, so that means a lot of people are probably going to put him in.
Right.
That gives me basically inside information to avoid him.
Yeah, you can pay. To be fair, you can pay them and then get their projected ownership statistics, but whatever. I just don't believe that the experts are really the only.
There's no way I would, if I were the best FanDuel player in the world,
no.
I would maybe do a column and get paid. I would definitely
right.
want to get paid, but I'm still like,
I got you. No.
There's that pick or that player that I
You're
really
keeping
love
secret,
that
yeah.
I'm not telling you.
There was
or
one,
I'm going to intentionally steer you to somebody who I want you to pick
right.
who may seem still like a good pick.
Right. There's one podcast host who says, I'm not going to give that out. I like him. I forget his name on Roto Grinders, but the host will ask him like, what's your sleeper stacks of the night? And he's like, the Blue Jays and the A's, and I'm not going to give out the rest. And so I
That's
like
good.
It that he's honest.
Yeah.
And the only other thing that the service they could provide that would be helpful is if the sites that just give you stats, they just give you actual like numbers that you then interpret yourself.
Yeah.
That will be helpful.
That is helpful,
but
yeah.
not their opinions. All right, so regular league stuff, bro.
So, all right.
So,
all right.
Tom, how did your drafts go in your regular league? You feel you made any mistakes, bro?
So, you know me. We've been playing fantasy football for a long time. Usually, I end up making the playoffs and then lose the first round.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, my strategy has been very risk-averse. So, I like to bank players that I can count on from week to week. There's not a lot of volatility. So maybe either I just got really fucked up in the head the past year, or I've adapted my style because I took Ezekiel Elliott in two drafts. I took Doug Martin in two drafts. I think in past years, I was too focused on sort of like week to week. And this year, I really wanted to set myself up to have the highest potential upside players going into the playoffs,
well,
which I think Zeke and Doug Martin will be.
Dog, you like the Yankees, man. I mean, it's like enough first-round playoff losses, which you've had, and you're going to be like, yo, man, I'm going for it, man. It makes sense what you're saying. The goal is to win, like in a 10-team league off, and it's winner takes all. Making the playoffs doesn't really help. But in some leagues, you know, you get paid. It really matters on the pay structure. Which is funny because in the league I'm commissioning, I haven't even released what it's going to be. I don't know what it should be.
What do you think we're going to do?
I think it should be winner takes all, and then likely first and second we'll just make some sort of chop. But that's what I'm going to tell
people.
Not if
it's you and me, brah.
All right. Yeah, well, no, we'll play for it. One time I was against Marco in the poker tournament at Long Island City, and I was trying to chop to get out of there, and he was like, I don't chop, I don't chop. And it was the difference of 1,100 and 500, and I won because he ain't want to chop me. He could have more money.
Damn, right. Marco.
So here's the mistake.
Get your head in the game.
Yo, here's the mistake 72% of players make, including me, is draft players on the Colts. And I'm just kidding about the 72%. That was just an unfair lying tease. But I have T.Y. Hilton on two teams, and the Colts suck dick. They have the worst franchise in the world. I fucking hate their fans. They're just lucky people. Andrew Luck is hurt. Their offensive line. They got Frank Gore. People draft Frank Gore still. How about Andre Johnson? You want Andre Johnson? What is this? This is a joke. How can... This is insane. What am I doing?
So
he led the league in yards last year, T.Y. Hilton, but
Frank Gore had 1,000 yards last year. I took him in one league where I got him in the 11th round, which I think is fair, but in the ESPN leagues, he was going in like the 6th round. Like, what is going on here?
Dude, he's like, he looks like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. He looks like Mike Jones. Bro, you know who else? Marshawn Lynch is that stupid pick this year. Marshawn Lynch is like, fuck, he's 50. He's Earl Campbell. He's beat up. He smokes pot. He eats Carl's Jr. or whatever they eat on the West Coast for fast food. He's done.
Hardee's.
He's not going to have a good... They're the same thing.
He got picked in the 3rd round ahead of players like... I don't know.
He was getting picked in the 3rd round and 4th round of drafts. It's unbelievable. It's so stupid. Ahead of players like
Lamar Miller,
Spook McGillicuddy, Jimmy Johnson,
Todd Gurley.
Todd Gurley. Wait, I don't understand why Melvin Gordon had really that good of a year last year in the games he played. Is that why he went so high?
Yeah, so he missed the final 3 games, but he still, I think, had something like 1,100 yards and 8 touchdowns. And he's definitely their number one back.
It's funny. This is why I've sort of fallen out of love with football to some extent, is this dynamic that I hate taking old players in drafts, and because I know, especially with running backs, they fall off out of nowhere, obviously, right?
Yep.
And yet, like... each year it's hard to follow and get familiar with the new names, right? So it's like the names I know are the guys I hate. Usually I know all the names of these old guys, but I know enough to know that I hate them, you know what I'm saying? And then I only know about Jordan Howard and a few rookies, so it's my fault. I gotta get up on my
research.
You gotta
brush up on that.
All right, I took Dalvin Cook way too early. I don't know if people care about our personal fantasy
I kind of care. What? Who was the player that you took that was injured already?
Oh, Spencer Ware. I ran out of time and took Spencer Ware in like the 3rd to last round in our ESPN league. I just freaked out, ran out of time, and then saw his name. Oh, which brings me to a beef. Is that, yo, ESPN, get your shit the fuck together. Same with CBS. If you have their projection as 0 points on the season, why are they still in your rankings? Just bury them next to Michael Vick and Tim Tebow. Like, why are they in your rankings? They still had him ahead of guys like Gio Bernard and stuff, and they know he's out for the year. Why would they do that to me or anyone who auto-picking?
It's a concerned effort on everyone to screw Ryan DePaul.
No, it's not. Well, how about last year? We know a kid, and this is an actual true story in a real money league. He took Marshawn Lynch first overall.
After he retired.
And I asked him about it yesterday again after repeatedly trolling him about it and asking him about it. He said... one, he was high at the time a little bit.
But he confirmed this story.
This really happened.
Because I know it happened, but I still almost can't even believe it.
I know. I needed multiple confirmations. I asked him in the bathroom. That's the best place to confirm things is in the bathroom.
Yo, I heard you took this guy first overall.
I was in the urinal like, yo, you took Marshawn first overall last year, yo. And he was like, I did. I was high. But I guess I thought he would come back and have a good year. I don't know, man. Like, he still sort of rationalized it. So that's a good move. All right. I don't know. Any other stuff you got to say?
All right. Let's throw it out there. Let's put our sleeper Super Bowl picks.
Oh, God. I have no clue who's going to be good. Well, just like I said, Josh Bell would win the MVP. I'll think of a hot take. But you go first.
You know, I don't want to go with the crowd. I think Tampa Bay is going to be good this year, but I'm going to pick the Miami Dolphins.
Do you like Just I don't.
That's an insane prediction, though, because I know. They're in the Patriots division. They have the worst offensive
line in baseball and football too, right? I'm gonna say the Browns. I like Terrell Pryor leaving. I don't know. Who is their quarterback? The Browns.
Deshaun Kizer.
Awesome. He
was the starting quarterback at Notre Dame last year.
Oh no, they're so going for it again. They're going for Brady Quinn part two. Why don't they take a 31-year-old rookie like Brandon Weeden again?
Matt Schaub.
Who do you think is going to end up with the first overall pick? You think the Jets will do it? We're blatantly tanking now, trading Sheldon Richardson, huh?
Yeah, I can't believe they got a second-round pick for him.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
That's awesome.
Well, he's good.
He's good, but he's crazy, and he's about to go up for a contract next year. That's not worth a second-round pick.
He drives 100 miles an hour with a baby in the car. The Seahawks have been fucking up. That trade with the Saints, too, when they traded
Jimmy Graham and their starting center.
And their center, man. For a fourth, it gave up a first or whatever. It was stupid.
The Jets are clearly tanking. Next year's draft has the best group of quarterbacks in recent history. I would say going back to the Jameis and Mariota years. That was 2 years ago. The Jets are out for either Josh Rosen from UCLA, Sam Darnold of USC, or Josh Allen from Wyoming. So,
wow, Wyoming. I want him. I don't know anything about any of them except Rosen is like a rich kid. I want Wyoming guy.
Okay.
Why? What? Tell me about him. Is he white? Is he black? Is he tall?
They're all white.
They're all white and tall, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Who has the best intangibles? Who has the biggest dick?
I don't know. So Rosen has been the name that's been on the scene. He's
on
been
the dick
like,
list, you're
he's
saying?
Been like the Peyton Manning kind of prospect.
Of the dick size prospect? Okay, yes. Sorry. It's funny to think about everything you talk about with the draft prospects, just like that you're talking about their dick. Go on.
So Rosen has been the high-profile guy, but he's very arrogant.
Yeah.
And then Sam Darnold had a great year last year at USC. And Allen, I think, is the guy who's a little bit under the radar, but not knowing enough about any of them, I would probably go with the guy from Wyoming as well.
So I know we're sort of all over the place, but here's another thing. We were arguing in our draft about Jameis Winston, and you guys were saying, well, you weren't really participating, but Matt McKay was saying he liked him better than Ben Roethlisberger this year. That's retarded to me still. I understand that Jameis has a lot of yards and stuff, but Ben Roethlisberger is Antonio Brown, man, and he gets all these free yards with Le'Veon Bell, and they probably might have the best offense in football. I know the Bucs are going to be a lot better. Who they get? What receiver? Besides Mike Evans?
They have Mike Evans, DeSean Jackson, and they drafted O.J. Howard.
Dude, but I don't... And is Cameron Brate still their tight end?
Yes. He's decent. So they have two tight ends now that are really good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see... It's Ben Roethlisberger. Like, Jameis still throws too many picks. I don't know.
I'm with you.
And Antonio Brown also, a lot of sites. It was really silly. They had Julio Jones above him, which I think is nuts. And... Oh, I think Antonio Brown, as you took him in our draft, is the best receiver, I think.
He's still the
football.
Best receiver in football, 100%. I think it goes Antonio Brown 1, Julio Jones 2, and then Odell is 3.
And then Mike Evans.
Then there's that grouping of like A.J. Green, Mike Evans, T.Y. Hilton.
A.J. Green, it's funny though that A.J. Green and T.Y. are like looked at in the third tier, I guess, evidenced by where people are taking them this year. It's like I got him in the third round, but again, he led all of the league. Yeah, he led all
that's
the league in
pick.
Yards last year. But that was my 72% teaser of stuff not to do. So we'll see. All right, I don't know, man. So next week we're probably gonna just shit on something else. Maybe YouTube videos. Like there's this thing that you watch and it makes your eyes bluer, and that's pretty stupid, right?
But it works.
But it really works.
But it only works if you send your seed money to Joel Osteen.
Yeah, it only works if you really dedicate
and
it.
At the same time, you need to employ Ty Lopez's 58 rules for success.
And make sure you turn all cookies on and disable your ad blocker.
Correct.
And just put in your phone number and email, please.
All right. So this weekend, I'm going to come back to this show, and I'm going to win $1 billion.
Oh, you're going to get the perfect lineup?
I am. I have it right here.
You want to share it?
Yeah. So at running back, I got Bilal Powell and Isaiah Crowell.
Oh, I thought you were about to make fun of Little Ryan's team. Again, the person who took Zeke because he thought upheld meant hung jury.
And then we got Evan Ingram at tight end.
That's good.
I'm going to leave one of my wide receiver spots open because I'm not even going to need it. And then I got Sammy Watkins and Golden Tate.
Why do they think Sammy Watkins is going to be good, dude? All these projections like him.
It has to do with the fact that he was once a really high draft pick. That was...
What did the Bills get for him when they got rid of him?
Second round pick.
Damn! That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's amazing that they're able to get a second. I guess they... I keep thinking it's the Clippers when I see LAC
LAC.
In the draft charts. So Philly Rivers, huh?
But LAC is actually the Chargers, yeah.
And what, he's on the Rams?
Yeah.
Oh, well, who's it? Goff, is it, that's even worse.
Yeah.
Like, Goff is going to throw to him on the Rams offense?
Yeah.
Who's their coach, the Rams, now?
The Rams coach is, what's his name? Sean McVay. He came from the Redskins.
Timothy's brother?
Yeah.
What was he, the offensive coordinator?
He was the offensive coordinator in Washington, yeah.
You ever hear stupid fans call sports radio? I know you don't listen as much as I do to Mike Francesa. Oh, my God, we didn't talk about Craig Carton got arrested, bro.
Oh, yeah, we got to get that
so,
in.
So, yo, Craig Carton, like, the best, the funniest talk show host. He does a morning show with Boomer Esiason in New York in the morning, simulcast on MSG. He's awesome. He's so funny.
He's hilarious,
My dad hates him. A lot of guys get irritated by him, but he carries the show. If it weren't for him, the show would be such just boring as Boomer Esiason. He's done the show. Chris Christie's filled in for Boomer Esiason. He got arrested for running a multiple million dollars like fake company. He got
raised
a Ponzi scheme. He raised money from investors saying he was running a ticket brokerage, right?
Yeah.
That got tickets and sold tickets for hot events. I guess with his name value, he could say he had connects to tickets.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was all really to pay his gambling debts. He had millions of gambling debts to casinos, and the FBI arrested him, and he's screwed. Once the FBI arrests you, you're done.
No, he's definitely screwed.
That's crazy, dude. They talk about gambling on air a good amount. Like, I remember an episode, he literally taught Boomer Esiason what a three-team 10-point teaser was, and Boomer Esiason was like, you can't lose. It sounds like you can't lose. And it was just really funny, and he would reference gambling, but I don't know, man, but I can't believe it. That sucks. It's sad.
It's really sad because if you think about how much money he must make doing that show.
And he could even just do appearances and make more money. That's straight up addiction. Like, so much of crime. I know we're trying to be lighthearted, but like, straight up crime is caused by addiction. Like, you're doing stupid shit like that to either home invasion to get money for crack or even on this high level to cover your gambling. My dad said, that's going to be you if you don't stop betting.
You think so?
I don't think I'd be able to get millions of dollars in investors. I'd get $100,000 and then go to jail.
Okay. I can help you. You can raise a Ponzi scheme on my site. Yeah.
Which is what?
For Global Sports.
I'll do it, bro. Global Sports. Fake.
So if you see Ryan's gambling slush fund.
No, it won't be called that. It will say ticket exchange.
Ticket broker.
Ryan's ticket shop.
Ryan's pop-up ticket shop.
There is so much money though in tickets, bro, because like I see people who come to Cats. Well, I shouldn't have said where I work, but people come with a piece of paper to pick up their tickets and they paid like double face value from some third-party site to pick up their tickets at the box office. It's amazing. Broadway.com, which is a legitimate site, charges $50 extra on each ticket. It's unbelievable. 50. And then people ask us, they're like, what is the service charge? I'm like, I have no idea. I don't know.
That don't come to us.
That don't come. I don't service you. I service you.
Nothing to do with that.
You want
to
service me? All right. So that's it. We ramble, but hopefully entertaining. But we'll be even more formatted shitting on stuff in the future.
Probably not.
No, we will.
Okay, we will.
Don't tell me that. All right.
Bye.